And please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6 in your Schofield Bible, page 1255. We'll be reading verses 10 through 17. Beginning with verse 10, we'll read responsively through the 17th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And let's please stand for the reading of this portion of Scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this service. Thank you for what you're about to do. Now, in order for you to do as you would wish, you need Christians who are here on business. Christians who mean business. Help us to mean business with thee tonight. Help our hearts to be ready. Help that our preacher's preaching will be in thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to just read for you a few of the verses Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago from the book of Ephesians. Listen to just a few verses here. And notice how many times, or notice several times, the word stand is mentioned. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word stand. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Goes on to say, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Notice that withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The little words there, having done all, mean it's a very strong term. Having given all, done all, exhausted yourself to do all, and after you've done all, then stand. In other words, everything is done. You can't do anything else. Stand. The next word is the same word. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let me tell you what that means. The Lord is saying, you withstand, but when you get to the place where you can no longer withstand, he said, you just stand. Just stand. I want to talk tonight on the subject, when you can't withstand, you can still stand. Our Heavenly Father, bless our discussion tonight. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to have a better voice tonight. But I'd rather have your help than a good voice. I need your help. Please speak to the hearts of the people tonight through this, thy servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Thursday night, and I've had this, I guess it's bronchitis, I don't know what it is, and had it all during Bible school, and boys and girls didn't sympathize with me at all, just they felt the same way you feel. They're glad I had it because they hate me just like you do, but even though we hate each other, we can still be friends. I preached Thursday night over in Downers Grove, Illinois, and I'll be quite frank with you, I had no voice at all. You talk about my voice tonight. When I started preaching Thursday night, I honestly, I thought, good night, I got an hour here to preach. I know the sermon I preached about an hour long, and I thought, I don't know how long my old voice can hold out. And I know the people are feeling sorry for me. I mean, basically, my voice is much better tonight than it was then. But I kept on frogging it, and along about 30, 40 minutes into the sermon, it started clearing up a little bit, and never did get as good as it is now. And it was a tough message. And yet, God got a hold of that service, and we had a gully wash of a service, a wonderful, wonderful service that night. And so God doesn't need my voice. My voice needs God. And I want God to speak to our hearts tonight. I really do. I want to talk on the subject, when you can't withstand, you can stand. Having done all to stand. Have we prayed yet? Good. I want to be sure we got the prayer in. The writer is talking, or the Holy Spirit, as he inspires the Apostle Paul, is talking about the battles that we have to fight, the battles we have to face. And these passages deal with putting on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against principalities and against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so forth. And he says we're supposed to withstand. That means we're supposed to fight and fight and fight and fight in the battle against wrong. But, he said, there will come a time when you no longer can withstand. He said, when you come to the place where you can no longer withstand, then stand. Now, I will say this. The doctor is going to say to you one time, we've done all we can do. What you're supposed to do. The Bible says stand. The doctor is going to say concerning a loved one, there's nothing else we can do. What does God say do? He says to stand. Bible says there's going to come a day when the truth is there's nothing more you can do. It says having done all. Didn't say having done nothing to stand. God is not talking about pacifism here. God is saying after you've done everything you can do, and you get to the place where there's nothing you can do. And by the way, you'll get to that place sometime in your life. Something will happen in your life over which you have no control, that you cannot stop, you cannot prevent it. There's nothing you can do about it. God says, when that time comes, stand. Maybe you're too weak to withstand, but you can still stand. Maybe you're too tired to withstand, but you can still stand. Maybe there's no need to withstand, but you can still stand. God is saying, and by the way, that time's going to come. Our 1988 graduating class of Hammond Baptist High School had its 10th reunion, class reunion this last week, and one of the fellows sent me one of the class books. In that book, it had the pictures of all the graduates of our Hammond Baptist High School 10 years ago. And I went through that book twice this weekend. Excuse me. Twice. And I stopped and prayed for each one of the graduates, and then I thought about them for a while. And then I began to think of the heartaches in those in that class. 10 years, 10 years ago, sitting right here, 10 years ago, football players, basketball players, cheerleaders, students in school, 10 years ago, a bunch of teenagers having a bunch of fun. Now then, 10 years, married, heartache, heartbreak, some divorced, some with children that have incurable diseases, some with disease themselves, some will never be normal, some have children that never be normal, heartache and heartbreak. I'm talking to folks all in this room tonight. You don't know what to do. I mean, you can't withstand. You've done all you can do. You've come as far as you can go. And the Lord says, when you have come as far as you can go, and have done all you can do, you can no longer withstand. Maybe you don't know the answer. You don't know how to withstand. Maybe the enemy is, and what has come up against you, there's no way you can withstand it at all. It's beyond your ability or capability to withstand it. God says, after you've done all, there's one thing you can still do, and that's stand. Stand. I will take the word stand tonight. Tell you what it means. The word stand means stay in the same place. What does it mean? Having done all, stay in the same place. Having done all, stand still. Having done all, don't move. Having done all, don't change. Now listen. It may be, oh, good night. Okay, let's take Stan Smith. I got his name right, didn't I? Ken Smith. You get up here on the platform one time every 6 months, then you want to preach my sermon for me, don't you? By the way, Brother Chambers, we let him lead the singing. He's not satisfied with that. He wanted to read the scripture a while ago for Brother Boardway. And brother, he kept reading Brother Boardway's scripture. The guy's taking over. These two fellows here, same platform. The church is headed for trouble. But anyway, the honest truth is there's going to come a time in your life where you don't know what to do. You've done all you can do. The answer is beyond your capabilities. And the Lord said, don't change. Stay in the same place. Stand still. Don't move. Don't change anything. Having done all to stand. Now he said, withstand as long as you can. But when you can't withstand anymore, he said, you at least can stand. I'll tell you a story. I was in high school. We had a track star in high school. He ran the 100-yard dash. Best in the school. Name was Jack Hiles. But anyway, we had a track star. It wasn't me. But we had a track star. And while he was in school, he was in an accident of some kind. I've forgotten what kind. But he's paralyzed from the waist down. He walked on crutches. He said, I'm going to run the 100-yard dash again. I'm going to lick this thing. But he never did. When he got out of the hospital, got where he could walk on crutches again, or some, he went to a track meet. And he asked the coach. He said, Coach, you want to run the 100-yard dash? Coach said, you can't. Your leg's paralyzed. You're on crutches. He said, I want to run it. He got out there, and they let him do it. It was a practice meet. He got out there, and he was standing there with his crutches. And the gun went off, and the 100-yard dash race started. The fellows ran down the course. The fellow went as fast as he could, and he fell at about 10 yards. I'll never forget it. I was standing almost beside him. And the coach rushed out to him and said, are you all right? And the young man looked up and said, Coach, stand me up and face me forward. Stand me up and face me forward. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. When you get to the place you can't run anymore, stand up and face forward. At least you can do space the right way. God is saying, when you get to the place where you can't stand or withstand, you can't fight, anything's too big for you. The battle is impossible for you to win or even to fight. And you've done all you can do. There's one thing you can do. You can say, stand me up and face me forward. Don't change. Stay in the same place. Stand still. I want to give you five things it means. It means first, stand, don't change, keep the same opinion of God. Things aren't going well, are they? Problems, burdens, heartaches, trials. God says, okay, you've done all you can. You have an illness. It's incurable. Doctor says it's terminal. Okay, and the doctor's done all. You've taken all the tests. You've taken all the medicine. You've had all of the treatments. And now it's up to God. What can I do? You can stand. That's what you can do. And don't blame God. Don't change your mind about God. Don't get bitter. The other day, I was preaching in Shreveport, Louisiana. Brother Jack Scott, my son-in-law, went with me on the trip. And Shreveport is 37 miles from Marshall, Texas. Marshall, Texas is where I went to college. It's where our first full-time pastorate was, not far from Marshall. And so I asked Jack Scott, I said, would you like to go over and see places that are very dear to me in Marshall, Texas? He said, yes. We drove over in the afternoon. And we went to the college where we attended. We went to the first apartment we lived in, 2007 North Franklin Street. Oh, we went to the church where, the Grange Hall Baptist Church, old building where we used to have such a great time. I showed him places where, so, remember the lady in our church, I told Mrs. Jim Ford that said, "Please, Jesus, save Jim," and Jim got saved, and she shook everybody up, a big old fat, well-upholstered lady, and she kept shouting, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim." I showed him where she lived. I showed him the hospital where Becky, our oldest child, was born, and so forth. I showed him one place. I said, "The Berries live right there." "Who are the Berries?" "The Berries, a couple, at the time that I knew them, I was only about 22 years old at the time. They came to our church one Sunday morning. I did not know them. Sat over here on my right. And the church building didn't seat over about 300 people. They're sitting over here on my right one Sunday morning. I did not know who they were. Invitation time came. I asked for those that wanted to be saved and weren't saved, raise their hand for prayer. Mr. Berry raised his hand. She did not know he did. Her eyes were shut. She raised her hand. She did not know he did. His eyes were shut. They both raised their hand for prayer that morning. Next week, I went by to see them. One night, lived over the north side of Marshall. Went by to see them. And I walked in. I said to Miss Berry, "We're so glad to have had you in the service this Sunday. Thank you." I said, "You didn't come forward, receive Christ." I said, you raised your hand for prayer. "I'd like to tell you how to be saved." Mrs. Berry said to me, "I wouldn't get saved for anybody." And I said, "Well, why?" She said, "Because God took my baby. I wouldn't trust a God that'd take my baby." And I said, "Mrs. Berry, God is good. No God is good that'd take my baby." I said, "You're going to find out one of these days the purpose in that. God is good. You trust Him." "No." And she cursed and she said, "I wouldn't have a God like that." We went to Dallas for a few days. Came back home, picked up the Marshall News Messenger paper. And headline said, "Woman murders husband in North Marshall." I looked on the front page and there was Mrs. Berry's picture. I read the story. Mr. Berry had been murdered by Mrs. Berry. And the bullet had gone through his head up here and come out down here, and because he was on his knees begging for mercy. And that woman had shot her husband, murdered him. Then, a few days later, got in her car, was driving down Highway 43 past our church, on down to the Grange Hall Methodist Church, down a hill, 80 miles an hour. And that was all fast in those days. It is now too, but in those days didn't have wide highways. And so, 80 miles an hour, lost control of her car, hit a tree. Miss Berry was killed. Now, folks, listen to me. I thought about them. Both of them, as far as I know, died and went to hell. Why? Because they blamed God. Now, you listen to me. God's good. God's good. Take God off trial. Quit trying God. Quit convicting God. Quit indicting God. God's good. Well, I can't see it. God's good. I don't believe it. God's good. He hasn't treated me like I ought to be treated. God is good. God is good. God is good. You can't. And don't change your opinion about God when things go bad. I mean, the psalm that the writer is saying here, he's saying, okay, the time's going to come. You can't withstand anymore. And you can't take it anymore. And you can't fight anymore. And you're too weak to go on. You don't know what to do. He said, there's one thing you can do. You can stand. Don't move. Don't change. Stay in the same place. Stand still. Don't change your opinion about God. Number two. Having done all, stand. Having withstood, you can no longer withstand, stand. Number two, not only don't change your opinion about God, but don't change the direction in which you're going. If you can't move forward, you can face forward. If you're too weak to move, you can face the right way. You can say with the man in the Alamo, "I cannot cross the line, come and take me across the line." Listen, several thousand folks tonight in this great crowd. All kinds of burdens and heartaches and problems and frustrations and needs in a crowd like this. I'm talking to hundreds of people tonight.
You just say, I don't know which way to turn. You shouldn't turn. Shouldn't turn. Stand. Stand. Don't turn. Having done all, Bible says, withstand. But the day comes, you're too weak to withstand. You don't know how to withstand. You haven't got the strength to withstand. You don't know, haven't got the wherewithal to withstand. You can't fight back. Bible says, don't move. Face the same direction. I got a letter the other day. Young man that I admire unbelievably. Joe Elwell. Joe Elwell enrolled at Howells Anderson College as a kid. Out of high school. He graduated as a grandfather. Nearly. Joe Elwell came along, left with six. Joe Elwell got expelled from school. How many times? Joe Elwell was a former student of our school, and a former student of our school, and a former student of our school, and a former student of our school. But Joe Elwell, though he would get to some semester when he couldn't go, he always kept facing toward the finish line. When he didn't know which way to go, he didn't go either way. He kept looking toward the finish line. Joe Elwell said, stand me up and face me forward. I mean, I can go forward right now, but I will after a while. Until I can go forward, I'll face forward. I may be too weak to move, but I'll rise and fight again. Till I can rise and fight again, I'll face forward. Don't go home. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Keep going in the same direction. Joe Elwell got his degree from Howells Anderson College right here on this platform 13 years after he enrolled as a freshman. He got 2 weeks to go, but he kept facing in the right direction. Financially, he couldn't go, but he kept facing in the right direction. Started having much, got married, started having much of kids, one every 2 or 3 months. But he kept on facing in the right direction. Tonight, Joe Elwell is a successful young pastor in Morgantown, West Virginia. Now, if he is like some of you washouters, quitters, Benedict Arnolds, turncoats, he wouldn't be in the ministry. But Joe Elwell said, when I can't go forward, I can stand and face forward. If I can't fight, I can stand. If I haven't got the money, I can stand. If I haven't got the ability, I can stand. Anybody can stand and face forward. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, do all you can. You've done all you can, having done all. Stand. Don't change. Stay in the same place. Stand still. Number three. Having done all, stand concerning your opinion of God. Having done all, stand concerning the same direction. Having done all, stand concerning the same doctrine. Things get going bad, so you change your doctrine. Change your belief. I showed Jack Scott a little building now used for some secular cause. Churches moved on down farther in the country now and built a little brick building, and it's not near the church it was many years ago, the Grange Hall Baptist Church. But I showed him that little white building on the right as you go out of Marshall, several miles from the main part of Marshall. Grange Hall Baptist Church. I showed it to him. 40 years ago, I was called a pastor of that church. Are you listening to me? I was 21 years of age. I'm 61 years of age tonight. I dare you to show me a doctrine I believe in that I've changed about. I decided what I believed. I haven't gone off on hyper-Calvinism here for a while. Haven't gone off on ultra-dispensationalism here for a while. I mean, the same doctrine little Jackie boy Hiles believed 40 years ago tonight, the old man still believes and still preaches. Why? I may not can go forward, but I can face forward. And God said, when you've done all you can do, stand. Don't change. Don't move. Stand. Some of you folks, one of your kids will get in trouble and do something bad. You'll blame your church and join another denomination. If you don't know what to do, stand still. Don't move. The fact that you don't know what to do means you haven't got enough sense right now to move. Face forward. Stand me up. Face me forward. That's what God is saying. He's saying, I want you to put on this armor, the whole armor of God. And he said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. But he said the day is going to come in the evil day. You can't withstand. He said when you can't withstand, you just stand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted with the water. I shall not be moved. Same doctrine. Number four. God is saying, when you can no longer withstand, when the doctor says, I've done all I can do, there's nothing else left. It's in the hands of God. Only a miracle can heal you. When you say, I don't have the energy to go forward, I've done all I can do, God said, in the first place, stand concerning your opinion of God. Number two, stand concerning the direction. If you can't walk forward, face forward. If you can't run forward, face forward. And then the same doctrine, now this, same convictions. We call them standards these days. I don't like the word standards too much. I like the word convictions better. Same convictions. Over 40 years ago, Jack Hiles, 21-year-old preacher, decided what he believed. He decided he believed in soul winning. He decided he did not believe in drinking any form of alcoholic beverage. He decided he did not believe in using any kind of tobacco. And finally, the doctors have caught up with me now. Hope they'll catch up with me on liquor pretty soon. He decided he had preached against drinking. He decided to preach against tobacco. He decided to preach against mixed bathing. He decided to preach against women running around here showing their thighs in public. He decided to preach that men ought to get haircuts and ladies ought to dress like ladies and men ought to dress like men. He decided what he believed, and I'll double dog dare you to check the sermons I preached 40 years ago in that little country church and check the ones I preached in the last year at the great First Baptist Church of Hammond. I think you'll find this, brother. There have been times I didn't know where to go. There have been times I didn't have strength to go, but bless God, I can stand. And so can you. Stand. Stand. Somebody said to me, well, this is 1987. That was a year ago. Pretty sharp for a crazy guy. Yeah. It's 1987, she said. I said, honey, come back in 2007, you'll hear the same thing. Why? I haven't found a place to quit standing. Don't move. Don't change. Is this Bible truth? It's true 40 years ago. It's true now. Does heaven have gates of pearl and streets of gold? It did 40 years ago. It does now. Does hell have fire and the men that die and go to hell burn forever? If it did 40 years ago, they do now. Having it all. Paul said, the day is going to come, Ephesian people, when you won't know what to do. The day is going to come when you won't have strength to do. The day is going to come when you've done everything you can do and still the battle is raging and still you can't fight. He said, after you've done everything, he said, stand. Don't move. Don't change. Don't turn. Stand. This is not one of my convictions, but practices. Jack Scop and I were driving down West Houston Street. No, East Houston Street. Marshall, Texas. Used to be the old Highway 80 that went right through town before they got the interstates. I said, Jack, see that barbecue place there? He said, yeah. I said, that's Neely's Barbecue. That place was there 40 years ago. I said, that's the last place where I ate out on a Sunday. He said, what? I said, 40 years ago, sitting right there in front of that very building, was the last time I ate out on a Sunday. Now, I don't preach against eating out on Sunday. I just don't practice it. And here's why. It was Sunday night. Mrs. Howes and I were sitting together in the car, and we're having curb service at Neely's Barbecue. One of our members drove up beside us. His wife was, I was, of course, sitting in the driver's seat here, and he was driver's seat there, and his wife was near me, that far from the cars, that far from each other. We were eating a barbecue, Neely's Barbecue. And you've never eaten barbecue, you eat Texas barbecue. Because Texas has better cows than you have up here. And hot Texas sun, they done barbecued before they died. You ever drunk any barbecued milk? But anyway, we're sitting there eating Texas barbecue, Neely's style. And this couple drove up. And I said, hey, hi, folks. And the little lady looked at me and she said, Brother Hiles, I'm shocked. I said, shocked about what? She said that you and Mrs. Hiles would eat out on Sunday. Of course, I wanted to say, well, you're not here to go soul winning, are you? I'm shocked. And I started the car and drove away. And that's the last time I ever ate out on a Sunday. Oh, by the way, I did finish the sandwich. Now, I'm not against your eating out on Sunday. I just ruined your whole evening, your post-church evening. I'm not against that at all. I just don't do it. Why? I don't know why. I just don't. Well, you got any convictions about it? I don't know. Just don't do it. Well, I don't know. I tell you why I don't, because I'm old and stubborn. And America would be a heap better off if we had some old, stubborn people left in our nation, too. We used to drive home sometimes to Dallas on a Sunday night after church, and we'd drive through Mineola, Texas. We got to Mineola usually about a quarter of midnight. Mineola had the only restaurant open through the night between Marshall and Dallas. We'd drive up in front of that restaurant, quarter 12, sit out there till 12 o'clock. Because Monday starts at 12:01. Now, to this day, if I went out to eat tonight after church, I'd have to sit there from the time I got there till 12:01. Now, I know that's silly. And it's not in the Bible. And I know there are other things that might... It was silly for my mother not let me toss a baseball on Sunday. I was taught not to pick up a ball on Sunday and throw it. Sunday was church day. I was taught Sunday was a Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath, but don't, it wouldn't hurt if we didn't know it. I'll tell you something else. We do need some respect for God's day. And this church needs some respect for God's day. You ought not to work on Sunday unless it is necessary for your livelihood. As we'll say it. You teenagers have no business working on Sunday. And you parents have no business letting them do it. I think I just struck a fire. I think I hit an artery. I see blood squirting all over the building. We ought to get back to having something sacred left in America. I can't show you in the Bible that Sunday's the Sabbath, but I can tell you that there ought to be something sacred, and one of those things ought to be God's holy day. Billy Sunday preached against Sunday newspapers. Did you read the paper on Sunday? Of course I do. But I thank God Billy Sunday preached against them. I just think we ought to get against something. I preached the other night at Bob Jones University, I think. They told me I did. First time I ever preached at Bob Jones University. Old Dr. Bob Sr. was there. Old Dr. Bob fell in love with me at first sight. I told the preacher boys this. Do you know that at Bob Jones University, I had never met Dr. Bob, never seen the university. Dr. Bob Jones came to our church in Texas. He was there a total of 28 hours. Let's see. I take it back. He was there about 32 hours total. But I saw him for 28 hours. He had never seen me. I was in my 20s. Before he left, in 28 hours, he and I were together. Before he left, he had met me, preached for me twice, put me on the board at Bob Jones University, and invited me to speak at their big annual Bible conference there. Never met me. He fell in love with me. It's easy to understand why. I went to that first conference. Old Dr. Lost his name all of a sudden. Dr. Evangelist Oliver B. Green. The other day I was driving down the highway and I heard a fellow say, "Oh God, save the soul that's nearest hell." I said, "Let him have it, Oliver, let him have it. He's in heaven now." He drank more coffee than in 10 minutes ever in my life. I knew him well, but I'd never met him before. He was up in Norfolk, Virginia a few months after I was there. Years and years ago. We're talking about now, good night, 75, 80 years ago. But somebody said Jack Hiles was just through here. Oh, Oliver B. Green lives in Greenville, or did live in Greenville. He's living. He said, "Yeah, I understand he's going to speak at Bob Jones Bible Conference." They said, "Yes." He said, "Well, he won't be cut loose and preach there. That's too formal." They said, "Hiles will." He said, "No, you don't understand it. You've not been there." He said, "It's a good place, but that's too high. That's educational center." Hiles won't preach that way. No, he won't cut loose and preach old hellfire and brimstone preaching there. They said, "Yes, he will. Hiles is one guy that'll do it." "No, he won't." He said, "Tell you what. If he cuts loose and preaches there like he would under a big tent somewhere, I'll give him the best Bible I own." I didn't know this happened. I preached my first sermon at Bob Jones University. I said, "Get against something. Get against something." I said, "I ought to have some preachers that'll fight something." I said, "Pick out something." Usually I would say Hershey bars and show how they're ruining America. How that they're decaying our teeth and enlarging our abattoir. But I couldn't think of Hershey bars. I never can think when I preach at Bob Jones University. I couldn't think of Hershey bars. So I looked down and I saw the ballpoint pen. And I just said, "Preach against ballpoint pens. Preach against them. That's what's ruining America right there." I said, "Man's in a motel room going to write his wife a letter. Gets the paper out, gets the ballpoint pen, tries to write things out of ink it won't write. Those days used to say that ballpoint pen will write through butter. But a guy who carries butter to his motel room?" I said, "The thing that's causing the divorce rate in America to increase, ballpoint pens." I just threw a fit about ballpoint pens. I said, "For example, heads of state meet to sign peace treaties. They get out their ballpoint pen to write it, and the pen won't write, and they get so mad they declare war on each other. I said, tens of thousands of men lie beneath Flanders fields and poppies over their bodies. Why? Ballpoint pens. I threw a hissy about ballpoint pens. I finished preaching. By the way, to this day, I still get ballpoint pens when people heard that sermon. I was preaching out in Idaho. Walked up, sat down, organist stopped playing, walked up and handed me a gift wrap package as a ballpoint pen, just the words, I was there. I was there. After I finished preaching that first sermon, all of America is known as the ballpoint pen sermon. I still had Millard Ruby Green, a little short, stocky guy. Looked like Jimmy Hoffa reincarnate. Did. Had big, sunken, bloodshot eyes, lived on coffee. I've seen Oliver Green at 2 o'clock in the morning get out of bed and drink coffee. I woke him up slurping my milkshake. But anyway, this guy walked down and he said, Jack Hiles? I wonder who you think I am. I just got through preaching. He said, I'm Oliver B. Green. Come with me. I went with him. Now, I'd never met him before, but if you ever had Oliver B. Green tell you to come with him, you would go with him. I got in the car. Never said a word. He never said a word. Drove me about 3 blocks to his house around, I think it was around a cemetery or something, and not far from the university. Walked in his office. Bibles everywhere. He said, pick one out. Pick one out. I said, why? He told me the story. I said, folks, you wouldn't cut loose and preach there. He said, you did. I said, you can have the best Bible I got. I still got that Bible. Oliver B. Green gave it to me. Good night. It's been 30 some odd years ago. What am I saying? I'm simply saying this. The convictions that Jack Hiles had 40 years ago when he was a little country preacher in East Texas and nobody knew him but his wife and his mama, that the same convictions he had 40 years ago, those convictions are as deep as my soul in 1988. Having done all, stand. Don't change what you believe. I love what that little Wood Armstrong said, that first deacon said, after he'd been to our church for a while and he came to visit us here. Church, he's the only deacon I had in that church, had averaged 19 in Sunday school and just had a handful of members. Came here to visit First Baptist Church, and the last words he said, Brother Jack, he said, same old stuff, just heap more of it. That's all. Having an all, when you can't do anything else, you don't know what to do, you don't have anything you know how to do, you're facing a wall, stand. Don't change your opinion about God. Don't change your direction. You can't walk in that direction. Face that direction. Don't change your doctrine. Don't change your convictions. Number 5. Don't change your outlook. Don't change your outlook. Don't blame your friends because you got troubles. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the school. Don't blame the youth director. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your wife. Blame Brother Colston. I hate him. I hate that man. We're just friends. You know, I hate him because everybody likes him. I'm going to spread something on him so somebody will hate him. No, I love the guy just like you do. We all hate him. But what does God say? Don't change your outlook. Keep the same. Don't blame the friends. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the school. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the youth director. Don't keep the same outlook. Keep your smile. Don't change. Now, what is it you're facing tonight? What is it over which you have no control? In the valley, don't know what to do. Then everything you know to do. What can I do? I don't know which way to turn. That's your problem. You say, now, somebody's taught you got to turn. You don't have to turn. Stand. Stand. Just stand me up and face me forward. I fought through the night. I got back to my room. I really had taken too much in that afternoon. My son-in-law with me. I mean, I'd really lived too much, more than I could absorb in a couple of hours. Drove by Varner's store. Well, there, where Dad Furr used to sell me gasoline. That was the fellow who came out to sell me gasoline. He was on Mount Sinai with Moses. Varner's store. Kept on driving down. There's the Stotts family house over here on this side. They used to own a little store also. Right across the street, road over here, Mrs. French lived. Up a little road up here, Mr. McGeorge lived. He's the one that said the favorite book in the Bible is the Psalms. He's the one that loved to quote the Philippians 4:19 and Malachi 3:10. Mr. McGeorge up here. Mrs. Munden, a little past there, who walked to church. Doctor said she took that walk one time. She dropped dead with a heart condition. She walked it all the time I was there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every time the doors were open, there's Mrs. Munden, one of the sweetest little Christians you ever met in your life. But over there was that house where Mrs. Munden's sister-in-law had died. Singing, holding hands with all of us, singing together. We sang, she sang, led us in singing, "I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band." We joined hands and she sang as she went to heaven. Her little voice quit singing and all of a sudden her pulse was gone, her heart quit beating, and she sang her way to the arms of Jesus. That's where I saw that house, right over here. I kept on driving through. I got to thinking of all the battles in these years. And all the times I didn't know what to do. And all the times I'd done all I could do. And of all the times, there's nothing I could do at all except just stand. Stand. Do all you can. And stand. Don't change. Don't turn. Keep your same opinion of God. Keep facing the same direction. Keep your same doctrine. Keep your same convictions. Keep your same outlook. Stand up to run again. If you can't run, when you fall down on your crutches, and you can no longer run, you can say with my friend in high school, "Stand me up and face me forward." Father, you're a wonderful God. And I love you tonight. You know I love you. And I want my people to know how wonderful you are. Tonight.